Welcome to One True Podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Emily.
It's been, like 2 weeks, a week and a half. I don't remember when we last did one. So yeah, it's been a while. What's up?
Not much. I got a really cool gift in the mail from my dad.
What was it?
So, because of the Doctor Who 50th, like, England went crazy, and, like, everything was Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And they put all 11 doctors on stamps. So he sent me this, commemorative display, kind of the all 11 stamps. And then they hand-canceled them with, like, the TARDIS design. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then it came with, like, a poster.
That's
so
neat.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a Valentine's Day gift, but the envelope that it came in actually was had Doctor Who stamps
on it.
So when I saw that, I was like, I'm pretty sure this is for me.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a nice gift.
Yeah.
Well, we've started our series regulars television club.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I got it. I was surprised I got it off the ground as quickly as I did. As soon as everyone was like, okay, I'm in, I was like, we're starting now! I was like, I don't care that I don't have the website set up or anything. This is what we're doing! So, yeah, so for our first, for February, we're watching season one of Community. So, you can go to, okay, I can't remember what the forum is. Hold on, let me put it into my thing. It's seriesregulars.freeforums.org to go to if you want to join in the discussion, and the Tumblr is theseriesregulars.tumblr.com because someone was sitting on Series Regulars, so go there, watch Community with us. We'll be doing a live Google Hangout at the end of February that we'll then put up on YouTube. So I'm ordering my webcam today, so exciting. All right, we have some mail. We have two messages. The first one is exclusively for me because it's about soap operas. It says, this one is for Katie since she watches soap operas. Could you list your top 5 or top 10 soap opera ships? Also, aren't you really, really excited that Rick Hurst is coming back to General Hospital? To the last part of that question, I am so excited. I screamed a little. Well, because his character, Rick, like, was one half of my favorite ship, Rick and Sky, and, like, we got just, like, the littlest bit of them before the actress who played Sky decided to leave, and so it was like, oh, we were so close, and then it was taken away from us. So I'm hoping that he'll come back, and the actress has been back sporadically since she left, so I'm, like, I'm really hoping that they both come back to stay, and I can finally get the Rick Sky goodness that was ripped away from me. So yes, I'm excited about that. I did a list of my favorite soap opera couples. I'm gonna put it on the Tumblr so as not to bore people who are not interested in soap operas. So that I will put that on the Tumblr after this episode is published. So yeah. All right, and then we got another one that says, I always like it when you rank the guys in the shows you watch by hotness. What are your top 5 hottest TV characters of all time? Emily decided she needed more time to work on a list.
That's a hard thing to just come up with in, like, 2 hours' notice, Katie.
I came up with mine quickly, but
you know how bad I am at lists.
So we're going to do that next week. So if you want to tell us your top 5 hottest TV characters of all time, send them in. Just hit the message button at onetruepodcast.tumblr.com.
Can we do a top 10? Because 5 is going to be really hard.
Yeah, sure. Top however many you want.
Okay.
It's not like, it was an ask. It's not like we were doing, like, a specific, like, list.
There's so much hotness, and I don't want to leave anyone out. Like, by the way, I really love that our objectifying men is totally okay.
I know. I'm pretty sure I have objectified some women on this as well.
Yeah.
So we're equal opportunity objectifiers.
Well, maybe we should do both.
Okay.
We could do our hottest guys and then, like, our top, like, girl crushes.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Okay.
All right, so that'll be next week. So send in your lists. We'll read them. Possibly mock them. I mean, it might happen. We're not going to lie.
It probably will happen.
Yeah.
It's very judgmental.
Yeah. So, all right, so is there anything you want to talk about before we get into the week in chips?
Well, it's not really TV related, so I was just going to say that I'm kind of heartbroken if anyone's heard about the whole J.K. Rowling.
Oh, God.
You said that, like, she wouldn't have paired Ron and Hermione together.
It's like she wished she hadn't done it. I was just like, yeah, can't you just let it lie?
Well, I don't understand why, like, 6 or 7 years after the final book is out, all of a sudden she's coming out with, like, oh, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done this. It's like, just let us enjoy the books.
I mean, I have zero personal investment in Harry Potter. I could not give less of a shit about the books and series in general or who ended up with who, but it's so dumb to just be like, well, if I wrote it now, I would do it this way. I mean, it does. It kind of takes the enjoyment away for some people.
It really does, because the next time I read the books, I'm going to be like, well, she didn't really want them together, and I'm going to judge their interactions, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, she's just flaming the ship war that has died down considerably since the books have stopped coming out. And so, I mean, that's what it has been all over Tumblr for, like, the weekend has been the reemergence of Harry Potter ship wars. So it's just
annoying.
It's ridiculous. And, like,
I've seriously shipped Ron and Hermione hardcore, so it really upsets me that she now, like, hindsight, she's, you know, questioning her writing, I guess.
Well, it feels kind of weird. Like, a few years ago, she came out with the whole Dumbledore was gay thing, and I mean, okay, that's nice, but it doesn't affect anything in the book. And now it's this, news, and it's almost just like, okay, the Harry Potter spotlight has faded a little bit, let's turn it back up again, you know? That's kind of what it feels like.
It does feel like that.
So.
And I never pegged her as the type of person that would do that, but it feels like that.
And I mean, that's why I prefer writers who are like, you know, let my books speak for themselves. If you want to interpret it one way, interpret it your way. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I'm bothered when authors are like, no, the way you see it is not valid because it's not what I wanted. So I don't like that. So, okay. Well, I guess anything else before we get into the week in ships?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so let's start Sundays. We've got an episode of Girls from last week. Not last night's, because you haven't watched it yet, but last week's Girls. It was, what, when her editor died, I think?
Yes.
That, I think this episode really highlighted what a sociopath Hannah really is. I mean, really, yeah. And
So it's her birthday party.
Yeah. No, was that her birthday party episode?
I feel like the editor dying is almost a two-part.
No, her birthday...
Sorry, wait, he wasn't dead at her birthday party because he showed up to her birthday
party.
Yeah,
and remember he got in a fight with Ray?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that episode.
Okay, so we've got the two episodes of Girls to talk about.
I did want to talk about that episode because I think that episode very much highlights the relationship between Hannah and Marnie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Marnie... I think, especially this season, it started last season, but especially this season, it's really sort of, because she seemed in the first season like the selfless friend who had everything together, she was supporting Hannah, but
right. The
past few seasons have really shown that she is so much more self-involved, like her relationships are more about validating herself than they are about actual friendship.
Right, it's like she keeps friends around to make herself feel better.
Yeah.
And especially when, like, Hannah specifically told her, like, I don't want to sing.
Yeah, exactly.
20 minutes later, she pulls her up on stage because Marnie wanted the spotlight, even though it's Hannah's birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. And how she kept saying, like, Hannah's parents paid for everything, but she kept talking about how she was throwing the party. And then she went on the whole thing about how she was like, well, you know, throwing the party makes me feel better, so I don't have to think about Charlie. And then I'll have a lot of great party pictures to put up on Instagram so that he can see how how well I'm doing. And
it's very disturbing how obsessed she still is.
Yeah.
About that relationship and about him. Like, it's been long enough, hasn't it?
I don't know what the... I don't think it's been clear about what the exact timeline has been.
Yeah.
And...
to know how much time has passed between seasons.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like, okay, obviously this is showing how kind of sociopathic Hannah is, like, these past few episodes, but she had a scene where she was talking to Adam's sister about the way her medication makes her feel kind of numb. And so maybe, I mean, she's obviously has a lot of self-involvement issues. We saw that in the first and second seasons before she was back on her medication for OCD. But, like, it seems like she was still able to be empathetic and to feel for her friends, but now she doesn't really have that anymore. And, like, and the fact that they mention the medication, I think maybe they're trying to, like, point to that sort of being the cause. But I don't, I mean, we're so early in the season, I don't really know where they're going to go with that.
Yeah.
But the thing about Hannah is that, you know, they show us how she can really be a horrible, horrible person, but they do something to really humanize her and show her, show the difficult time she goes through, like at the end of season two, the whole, you know, she'd been left by all her friends, she was going through this horrible relapse with her obsessive compulsive disorder. We haven't really seen anything like that from Marnie, so I kind of hope we do. Like, we've even seen stuff like that for Jessa, like, her, about her relationship with her father and her failed relationships. So, as far as the characters who have behaved horribly, I feel like Marnie is the only one who we don't really have any sort of reason for sympathy.
Right. Any justification.
Yeah, and, like, Shoshana is sort of, it's only this season, really, that she sort of teetered into the self-involved, unlikable stage, so... Yeah.
She was more likable in season one.
Yeah.
I really like liking Marnie, and now I really can't stand her.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it definitely... And I don't feel like it's that she has become a different or unrecognizable character. I think it's just through the things that have happened, we've sort of seen more of what she's really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I think that's something the show has done well, is the development of these characters. So I just hope to see some background for Marnie. So, but how do you, what do you think about the future of Hannah and Adam's relationship, considering her complete inability to feel like empathy or guilt or anything like that?
Of, like, repeating the story that his sister told her.
She is so gonna... That's... I mean, make up your own fucking story if you're gonna do something like that.
He's not gonna find out she lied about that. I mean, especially because his sister came up with the story.
Exactly, like, he's...
If you're gonna lie and, you know, somehow garner sympathy or prove that you can feel something, at least make up a story. You're a writer.
Yeah, that's true. She's a writer. She should be able to, like, think of something better than that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good story.
Yeah.
It felt emotional. I love that it made, what's his name, just start
Laird. Laird. I like, just because it's not true doesn't mean I don't feel it. I kind of love Laird, and I like that we get him in little doses.
Yeah, I like him. I like him, too.
Yeah. I liked the confrontation, I guess, between Ray and Shoshana at the party, though, where he was trying to be like, oh, we'll be friends, and he was like, I don't want to be friends with you, but at the same time, it wasn't like, I don't know, I saw some people being like, that was so mean, just telling her that he didn't want to be friends with her, but I mean, she didn't, it's not like she was trying to initiate friendship anyway.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah. Like, I get the impression that they hadn't even really spoken since they'd broken up, and he was just like, well, we're both here, I'm going to try to make the best out of the situation, and even like, I think, because he'd had a conversation with Marnie, I don't remember exactly what it was about. It might not have been with Marnie, it might have been with Hannah, but it was, the gist of it was like, you know, I loved her, so I don't just, you know, it's not something that just, you forget automatically, you know? I think there was a conversation like that somewhere, and so he, you know, and that's, I think that was what him talking to Shoshana at the party was a little bit about. He didn't want to just let it go, but then as he was talking to her, he was like, I don't want this. I don't want to have to be around her. She did something not very great to me, so I don't want to have to be around her too much.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see the way Shoshana sort of develops throughout the season. So. Alright, anything else to say about girls?
No, not really.
Have you started watching
this season so far?
Yeah, I do. I think it's better than second season so far, I think.
I was going to say that exact same thing.
Have you started watching True Detective yet?
I have not.
Oh, you have to.
It's okay. There's only so much I can watch, Katie. I did watch the pilot of Looking, and I really liked it.
I haven't watched that yet. I keep forgetting about it.
It's, you know, it's an easy half hour, like, mm-hmm. girl. So it's easier for me to watch than True Detective.
Oh, for our listeners, HBO has been putting up Girls and Looking on their YouTube channel, the full episodes, the week after they air.
Nice.
So you don't have to have a subscription to HBO, at least currently, to watch them. I don't know how long they're going to be doing it for, but just so you know. All right, so Teen Wolf. We've got 2 weeks of Teen Wolf to talk about, I think.
Yes.
Oh,
I want to say, I'm not, like, saying it now just because it came true, kind of, but, like, in the first episode, when we meet the new girl, what's her name?
Kira.
Kira. And she, like, interrupts their conversation at the table, and she's talking about those spirits and everything, mm-hmm. and she mentions Kitsune. I was like, well, Kitsune is the Japanese word for fox.
Yeah.
And I knew that. So I was like, oh, I wonder if she's going to be some kind of fox shapeshifter.
And it seems like, I think a lot of us on Tumblr even were theorizing, because they're talking about the Japanese, or God, I think it was Japanese, I don't remember, god of, like, mischief or something, is either a fox or coyote, so about how that might tie in not just with Kira, but with, what's her fuck, I don't remember the girl's name, Malia?
Yeah.
Malia? Is that, so, yeah, the were-coyote, the were-odie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that she is, okay, I don't know how I feel about this yet, because if she wasn't a normal, then I wanted her to know she wasn't a normal, just because the whole her being like, let me help you guys with this weird thing that you're talking about, and not even act suspicious about it at all, or ask why you're doing it. But she doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess, I don't know, like, everyone but Styles now seems to be something, whether they're, like, a hunter, or they're a banshee, or they're a werewolf. And so it would have been nice to sort of have another normal, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Do you think they will ever maybe have Styles become something?
I kind of hope not.
I like him just being human.
I do too, and I kind of almost feel like that is actually specifically what they're trying to do with him, although we do know now that he is obviously doing things he's not aware of, because it's heavily been implied that he is the one, quote unquote, controlling that, I can't remember the character's name, the bomber guy who tried to kill Kira.
Right, yes.
So, like, we don't really know what's going on with that, but, like, it does seem like, up to this point, like, it's been a very intentional decision to keep Styles not, you know, paranormal or whatever. So, how do you like Kira and Scott so far?
I don't really mind it. It's just there for me.
It's like, I lean more toward not minding it, but I kind of like, I like last week's episode. Like, I like them in last week's episode. Like, I don't know how to explain it, because their interactions and, like, the way that they behave around each other seems really, like, genuinely teenager, you know? Like, it really seems like genuine teenager, like, oh, I have a crush on this person and I think they like me too. You know, it really seems sort of genuine like that. And I kind of like that they're doing that while also making it clear from very early on that these are both some sort of supernatural creature. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I kind of like that while, because, you know, with Scott and Allison, it was all like, I have to hide that I'm a wolf, and her family's trying to kill me, and I have to try to keep that secret. But, like, with Scott and Kira, it's like we both know, we're knowing from very early on that we both have this thing, but it's still, like, cute and like, oh, crush, is he gonna look at me in the hallway?
I will say that it's the Scott Kira crush right now. It's very like light and airy, which is nice, particularly on this show, because it's, even though like they're in high school and we see them take in classes, stuff gets so dark on this show that a lot of times they don't seem like teenagers anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's very adult subject matter that they go through. They go through some really heavy, you know, things that this cute, bubbly crush is refreshing.
And that was something that I always thought Buffy was really good at, was balancing, like, those really adult themes and situations that they were handling with always showing that they were kids still, that they were teenagers. You know, they never let us forget that they were still in high school, they were still teenagers. And so, and sometimes they would be light with that, and sometimes they would use it to show how the gravity of the situation, how really messed up it is that these kids are in this situation, you know? And I do feel like most of the time Teen Wolf doesn't really do that. Like you said, it kind of, rather than using the fact that they're teens to help tell the story, they just kind of forget it sometimes. So yeah, like, I'm kind of glad that it's something that shows the character's young age. I do like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you were not crazy about the Isaac Allison stuff.
That scene where they're in Allison's bedroom, and I don't even remember what was said.
I don't even think it was Allison's bedroom. I think it was like the office, because
it was
there was like just a desk and a computer, and then her dad just like walked in.
That's right. And either Allison or Isaac said some like super cheesy line, and then all of a sudden Isaac is pulling his shirt off. I honestly was like, oh, this is like a dream.
Yeah.
This isn't gonna be real, because this is way too ridiculous to be real. But it was real.
I thought that too, especially considering the dream she had had in the prior episode. And, like, it's the same, but then it was real. It was just like, oh, so it was like, I'm gonna take my shirt off and challenge you. And she's like, I'm gonna take my shirt off and meet the challenge.
It was just so completely awkward and horrible and painful to watch.
Yeah, like, Chris saved it by walking in there and being like, what is going on in my house? Yeah. I did like the part, though, where she was on the computer and she heard, like, the electrical buzz, and she heard, like, the wolf whimper because she had put in the electrical fence, and he got buzzed by it. I did like that part. I thought that was kind of funny.
That was funny. And I did like when Allison's dad, like, pulls her away, and then he's like, another werewolf! Yeah. Screaming. That was
it
funny.
It does, because, like, the reason, if I'm remembering right, the reason she broke up with Scott was because he was a werewolf and she didn't want that, not necessarily in her life, but in that part of her life, you know? And so it seems kind of ridiculous, like, oh, well, I'm just going to go after another werewolf now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but at the same time, like, teenagers are fleeting.
Yeah, that's true. And how did you feel about them at the Black Light party?
Well, they don't, I mean, that wasn't really a big part of the episode. They just show up and, like, they paint
and
each other,
and she takes
right?
off her shirt again and is like, put some paint on me.
Yeah. Oh, wasn't there like a great scene where Lydia kind of like looks at them when Allison's just down to her bra and she like makes a face
well,
or something.
Makes a face, what she says is finally.
Oh, finally.
But it was like, these two episodes featuring these scenes where Allison is just like, well, I'm gonna take off my shirt now. I mean, it kind of, like, it kind of highlights how awkward I have started to find the relationship. Like, their moments together seem really awkward, and I don't know if that's the chemistry between the actors or if it's because it doesn't feel like there's been enough development to that relationship, that every time they're like, let's take off our shirts, or let's make out, or let's dance, you know, all close to each other, like, it just feels awkward. It sounded so lame just saying, let's just dance close to each other. But I couldn't think of a better way to describe it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it
yeah.
all just feels, like, weird and awkward. So, before I was on the, like, I don't hate it, but before I was on the I couldn't care either way side, and now I'm on the it's weird and awkward and I don't like it side. But I don't, like, actively hate it. I don't think I could muster hate for any ship on the show that doesn't involve Jackson. And Jackson is the... And the only reason that I would hate any ship involving Jackson is because I hate Jackson so much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other shippy things. Oh, well...
Oh, okay. In our last podcast, I remember... Because I was confused about whether the twins were back in school, and I remember you said, no, that would be
and
dumb.
And now they're back in school.
And then re-enroll.
Like, I'm glad that the... I am, it's dumb, but at least they gave the reason of them being like, well, if we're at school, we're closer to Scott, and we can then convince them to let us join the pack for our protection. And then they were like, well, we didn't graduate, so let's do it. But, like, the actual reasoning, at least there's reasoning there instead of them just being like, hey, we're back in high school, so they can somehow keep us on the show. I think it's dumb. I hate the twins. I hope that they're not on next season, but at least they actually gave a reason for it.
Yeah. I guess.
There was some nice stuff with Lydia and Styles in the last episode, though. Like, there was a really nice moment in, because she really felt that that guy was at the school, and so Styles pulled the fire alarm, and then he got in trouble because the coach was standing right behind him. And then, so there was that nice moment in the room where she was, like, feeling genuinely bad, not just because the feeling that she had was, at that time, assumed to be wrong, but she felt bad because Styles got in trouble for listening to her.
Right.
And she, and he kind of, he was, he assured, he, I don't even remember what was said, it was just a really nice moment of him, like, assuring her that, you know, he would, you know, anytime she thought something like that, he would do it because he trusted her. No matter what, and they had it, and she was playing with the red, this is me, like, looking into everything, but she was playing with the red string, and there's that whole thing about, I don't remember where it comes from, but red string connecting the true lovers or the soulmates or something, and he had, like, she was playing with it and wrapping it around her fingers, and then he was, like, unraveling it from her fingers and holding on to it, so they were holding on to it at the same time, so, yeah.
That's cute. I'd never heard that thing about
yeah,
Red string.
So that was, I thought that was a nice touch. I do kind of feel like maybe that was intentional, but I don't want to be like, yes, this is what it means. So, yeah, but then they decided, I don't know if they decided to do Lydia, and I don't remember which one she's.
Is it
it's
Ethan?
I don't know. It's either Ethan, the straight twin. Which I guess, because he, you know, making passes at her and stuff, and then she says that, you know, after she helped to save Kira's life, you know, that felt good, and she didn't want to be with a bad guy. And so, it could go either, I think it could go one of two ways, where this was just them, like, actually giving closure to that relationship, since they are going to be on the show, to sort of do away with any, well, are they still together, are they still going to hook up? Or it could be, like, her being like, well, I don't want to be with you because you're a bad guy, and him being like, I'm going to be better and prove myself and win her. So,
yeah.
I hope it's not the latter.
I feel like it will be
I
the
know.
Latter. Because he also wants to be in Scott's
That's
pack,
true.
So he wants to prove that he's a good guy for Scott.
But what if, like, okay, it'd be really nice if they decide to go that route, but in the season finale, he dies trying to be the good guy, and he makes a heroic sacrifice, and then he's not on the show anymore.
That would be nice, and that would make me not hate that character.
Yeah. Alright, so how do you feel about Gay Twin and Danny?
I really like Danny. I like super like Danny. But since I don't like the twins, I mean, I'm like, yay, Danny's happy. Okay.
Yeah, like, I really like that he's getting some play. And that's one of the things I like about this show so much, is that, like, they don't do that as sort of like a big, look, we have a gay character, we have a gay couple. It's just like, this is a character, he's gay, this is their romance. And it's not like a big deal. It's not like they shine a light on it or draw a lot of attention to it.
I like the amount of, like, what they show of their relationship. It's not like, oh, we have a gay character, but we're not going to show them together at all.
Yeah, we're not ever going to show, we're going to imply.
We're going to show them making out all the time. It's like a nice, it's not a nice balance.
Yeah, so, I mean, we do get scenes of them making out, but then we get scenes of them just flirting, and we get scenes of them not being happy with each other. It's portrayed like a real relationship, and I really like that.
Just like holding hands, walking down the hallway, it's very sweet.
Yeah, it's very well done. I like that they don't, that they're not trying to be like, look, we have a gay couple! Because, I mean, it's not really been talked about a lot, but when you have a gay couple on a show, on a lot of shows, like, it gets talked about because they sort of, I imagine it's done for publicity, but they do sort of, like, be like, shows are kind of like, hey, look, we have this gay couple, pay attention to us, and so, like, it'll get talked about, and but that doesn't really happen with the show, and I like that.
Yeah. They're just a regular couple on the show.
All right, anything else on Teen Wolf before we move on to Tuesday?
I think we talked about everything I wanted to.
All right, so on to Tuesday, so we've got last week's New Girl, or the week before's New Girl.
Yeah, the week before, because the week before the president's address.
Yes, it was a very sweet episode. It was Jess's birthday.
I really liked it.
I did too.
Like, Jess has always had a bad birthday, you know, so that's a lot of pressure. And typically Nick is not the, you know, type of guy that can, like, deliver. Or, like, he does, but, like, he fumbles and makes mistakes first, which is very normal. But I really like how it was almost like a, I don't know, it was almost like a psych, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it had been ruined. She thought, you know, it was over, and she got disappointed yet again, but then it turned out to be, like, the best birthday.
Well, and, like, the thing is, like, with some of the, like, they showed a flashback to her and Cece during one of the birthdays, and it seemed like they were trying to show in some cases, like, as far as her birthday being ruined, it was the fault of her own unrealistic expectations. And so it was kind of nice that, I don't know how to say it, that he met those unrealistic expectations when she didn't have those, like, the first time she didn't have those expectations, they were met.
Yeah.
And it was nice, I liked that. It's almost, I don't know how to say it. Like, he knew that, sort of, you know?
Like, he knew she was going to be disappointed?
Like, he knew that she tried to keep, that she would, that because of the past, she would try to lower her expectations.
Oh, okay, okay. So that the end result could be even better. She had no expectations.
But at the same time, I really liked that, you know, as soon as the episode was, it showed, it didn't kind of try to shy away from the fact that they do have a few issues. Like, she, I mean, what she said about him, like, that, you know, he's not someone who plans things. You know, that's not something that she just said in the heat of the moment. It's something that she really thinks and feels, but at the same time, they were able to sort of work that out and prove that, you know, it's not always the case, especially when it comes to her. So, I like that. Anything else?
I love the, when she thought that little girl's birthday party was...
They're stealing my birthday!
Eating the cupcake.
Alright, so on to Mindy Project, because that was big.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was not expecting that.
I knew
that.
It was going to happen. I got spoiled, oh, really? So... Oh.
Know that the show is taking such a long hiatus.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
So I guess it's nice that they did end on such, like, a big cliffhanger moment. Since now we have, you know, so long to wait. That's a memory to leave us with.
Let's talk about the episode. Because I like how Danny basically kidnaps her. He's like, yeah, I'll drive you to the airport. Just take a nap on the way there. I'll wake you when we get there. And then he drives her to his dad's. But she could have been, and I think maybe, like, season one Mindy, or if this was, like, Pete or something, like, she would, you know, Danny was like, well, I'm gonna go punch my dad in the face now. If it was, like, Pete saying that, she would have been just like, fine, do what you want, I'm pissed off because you dragged me out here instead of taking me to the airport. But with Danny, she was, like, trying to stop him. She was concerned, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So then she leaves, though. She gets in the car and drives away. And then he wanders off into the desert.
I did like the line where he was like, be careful driving. You're really bad at it.
But, you know, when he needs her, when he calls her, even though he's mean about it.
She still turns around.
Turns around and comes and gets him. Even though he's, like, yelling at her that it's her fault.
And they do have that confrontation in the desert where he's basically like, why are you going to go back to Cliff? He obviously doesn't want you. And I think that's, I mean, there's a lot going on with Danny in that moment. He's drunk. He's got this, he's dealing with this dad thing. But it's also, we've seen this season so far that he has sort of realized his feelings for Mindy even before this episode. So I feel like it's, you know, being drunk, the thing with his dad, and the fact that the woman that he has feelings for is going back to the guy that just dumped her when Danny needs her. I think though that was all just tangled up and ended up in that sort of explosion.
Yeah.
And then Mindy unloaded on him, which was nice. Like, it sort of evened things out. It sort of cleared the air and evened the playing field a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I like that. It wasn't just her. It wasn't just him being a jerk to her.
Yeah.
You know? She fought back.
Can we talk about the fact that Mindy has a fake ID? That her ID is a fake ID with the name Chloe Silverado on it? Because she believes that driver's licenses should be aspirational? I mean, what is that? How does that even happen? So, I'm trying to think of what happened before the end. I don't remember.
I mean, they go, it's pretty much from the desert to the,
well,
on the plane,
I think,
because
they
it?
Go, oh, they, his dad picks them up, and then they go to his sister's soccer game.
Soccer
which,
game.
Like, Mindy is better with children than I was expecting her to be.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and then it's the plane, and, yeah, like, he helps her write, like, the apology letter to Cliff, but he's obviously, like, projecting himself onto it. And then,
it was cute that she went to find the specific type of water that he
likes
to drink.
Yeah,
because
I think that they've done a really good job of showing, not that, like, Mindy is self-involved and Danny is sort of cold and distant and sort of, I don't know, he's not really sympathetic with other people, but that's, you know, when it comes to one another, that's all completely thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's really cute that without even, like, making a big deal about it, they remember little things about each other. You know, like, Danny remembers what she posted on Twitter that morning. She knows his favorite type of bottle of water, you know. It shows that, for two people who can be unsympathetic at times.
And it's not just that she knows, but, like, she gives a damn.
Yeah, that she wants to, you know.
Yeah, and so then... that awesome, amazing kiss.
That's pretty awesome.
So where do you think it might go from here?
I feel like if they are going to get together, it won't be to the end of the season. So I think they might do the kind of backpedal, you know, of like, I don't think Daniel will say anything like, oh, it was a mistake, but maybe Mindy like saying something like, well,
or like
I'm
going back and, like, for Cliff, you know.
Yeah, or she needs, you know, she needs time to like think.
I can
about
actually
things,
see and... them doing something different, like maybe them doing like a friends with benefits thing without, you know, neither of them admitting they want more, but they do. I could see them trying to pursue a relationship in secret for like half a season and that being like messy, and then like the finale sort of stuff is them deciding whether or not they want to, you know, do a real relationship out in the open relationship. So I think that there are a lot of places this can go, and I think Mindy Kaling is a good enough writer that it's not going to be necessarily the typical romantic comedy series thing that you'd expect, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So anything else from Mindy Project? Alright, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has not been on for a couple of weeks.
Not new last week. Was it new the
no,
week
it
before
wasn't.
That?
It's new tomorrow night, okay. Though, so next week we'll have it to talk about. So Suburgatory on Wednesday finally had something shibby to talk about. It's also been really sad. Well, because both George and Tessa got dumped at the end of last season. And then Tessa had been in a fight with her dad because prior to Dallas breaking up with him, they were all going to move in together and she didn't want to live with Dahlia. And so she had left her dad's house, and the season ended with her mom coming back to town and them living together, but the season started with her mom ditching her again. So it's been a sad start to the season, and this episode was sad too because Ryan was coming home for the weekend from college, and so Tessa was trying to convince herself how fine she was with everything and how she had moved on, and then she heard that Ryan had a girlfriend and he was bringing the girlfriend home. And so she was rationalizing, like, well, I'm sure she's, you know, a Ryan type, you know, big fake boobs, bleach blonde hair, stupid, but she was like a different, like Tessa with different hair, basically. Yeah, and she found out that the girlfriend wasn't from Florida where Ryan's in school, but from a few towns over from Chatswin, and that they were doing the long distance thing, which was one of the big reasons that Ryan and Tessa broke up. So it was just really depressing for like that relationship, for the Ryan and Tessa relationship, that he basically found I think her words were like Tessa but better. Yeah, and that he was willing to try to make long distance work with her but not with Tessa. It was really sad. It was upsetting. So I hope he gets happy again.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all for Wednesday?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Nashville.
So on to Thursday, we've got two episodes of Community to talk about. Alright, so let's talk about the Lava World episode first.
It was awesome.
Let's start with Troy and Britta, and then segue into Jeff and Annie, because we can talk about Jeff and Annie there wasn't so much last week, but there's definitely to talk about in both episodes, so let's start with Troy and Britta. I liked that there was an actual acknowledgement of the fact that they had once been together romantically and actually slept together and actually loved each other, you know? That was something that I was worried that they were just going to act like never happened, because it happened during the Gastly year. But yeah, even that moment at the very beginning was really nice, where she was the only one who was she was worried that they weren't addressing how much that they were going to miss him, and she was scared that they were going to miss the chance to say a proper goodbye, because they were all sort of acting happy as a way to not have to be sad, you know?
Right.
And so yeah, that moment at the beginning at the site at the table was really sweet when she was talking about it, and
And Britta's, like, the only one that's really showing emotion.
And I thought just the episode was really funny. And this, the whole thing with Troy and sort of being pulled between Britta and Abed in this episode, it almost feels like it was what Dan Harmon wanted to do had he written season 4 with the Britta-Troy relationship, sort of show how that would affect Troy's relationship with Abed and how Troy's relationship with Abed affected his relationship with Britta. And so, I mean, I think that's what everyone was figuring was going to happen with that relationship in season 4, and then it just didn't, they didn't do anything with Britta and Troy. And so it was kind of nice to see that.
Now, if Harmon had written season 4, do you think he would have made the Troy, Britta, Abed thing dark or humorous?
Well, I think it would be just the way that most of the show is. Like, it would have some sort of darker themes. I mean, dealing with Troy and Abed's sort of dependency issues, and maybe with Britta's, the way she feels that she's never been loved enough, that she's never been, you know, first choice. But it would still be light and funny in the way that Community is. So yeah, but I like how, and I kind of like how then they ended the episode, because it came to a nice conclusion of, like, everyone sort of, like, in the people in that Troy, Britta, and Abed, everyone sort of compromises a little, you know, to sort to work out their issues and sort of work out their feelings towards each other. Everyone sort of compromises a little bit.
Yeah. And I like how, because I think Britta has always found Troy and Abed's shenanigans a little childish. And but I like how she actually, like, participates in it and helps, you know, clone Abed. Like, isn't she the one that comes up with the
exactly.
idea to clone him?
Yeah, exactly. And again, I kind of feel like that's how that an arc in Harmon alternate reality season 4 would have ended, not with, like, Britta and Troy breaking up, but with all of them sort of getting a little bit of ground, Britta sort of starting to be okay with taking part in the childish fun sometimes, and Troy sort of realizing, because it, like, he did sort of realize the serious of Abed's issues more in this episode than he ever has before. So sort of realizing that and sort of agreeing with Britta as far as Abed sort of needing to not always be played with to deal with his issues. And so, yeah, kind of, and then Abed realizing that, you know, he can't necessarily have everything his way. And so, like, it does kind of feel like maybe that would have been the conclusion of that arc, and everybody started coming to a better understanding, like they did since the end of this episode. So,
yeah.
As a whole, I feel like it encapsulated, like, a season's worth of what Harmon wanted to do with that story. And I think it did that very well.
So, yeah, that was very well done.
And I really liked Britta and Troy's goodbye. I like that he, like, because he said that he loves her, you know, and we never got anything like that when they were together. And I think it's especially significant because he didn't say that to anybody else. There weren't I love yous exchanged with anybody else. It was just with Britta. And it was nice that it acknowledged the fact that, you know, there was a time when they were together and that they loved each other and they still love each other. And then she made sure he knows that he's better at sex than Jeff is. Which was nice. All right, so you want to move into Jeff and Annie? Because I like there, it's not, it wasn't a lot of Jeff and Annie content in these two episodes, but they sort of automatically teamed up in the Lava World episode. And they,
so that's continuing the theme of them teaming up. Like, you know,
and, like, they were very in sync. Like, they did the lava joust, like, motion at the same time, and the way that they, when they did that rolling chair attack, like, they were really, like, everything was, like, perfectly timed and synchronized. So, just once again shows how well they work together. And then, yeah, there wasn't a lot of them in last week's episode. I mean, if I put my shipper goggles on, I can say that, you know, Jet, he didn't want to do the party planning, the dance planning, and then Annie was like, I'll do it, and then he was like, I'll do it, and obviously it was like she said, just because if she's on the committee, obviously she's going to do all the work, so that's the committee everyone wants to be on, but I'm going to choose to believe the other way. But, like, he does automatically, like, jump to her defense to keep her from, like, murdering a person. When she attacks the... Was that a janitor or a custodian? Because apparently they're different. Yeah, so she attacked the custodian, and Jeff was, like, immediately...
And he, like, pulls
her, like, in the air as she is, like, flailing. And, yeah, I thought it was funny the way that he sort of changed her when she was, like, fat dog. You know, the fat dog thing, and he's like, sometimes I think you don't take us seriously. I thought that both of these episodes were really funny. I think it's been a really strong season so far. I mean, we're almost halfway through, and all the episodes have been really great.
Yeah.
So, anything else community-wise? I feel like we're meant to assume that Shirley and Andre are back together. Well, it seems... I don't know, because, like, they made mention of Pierce leaving Shirley the timeshare for her husband and kids to go to, and she was all happy about it. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe... And the kids were singing at the sandwich shop opening, which, I mean, I know that doesn't prove anything. Obviously, they can still... Even if they're living with Dad at that point, they can still come and see Mom and sing at her sandwich shop opening. But it sort of just kind of feels like they're like, okay, things are back to somewhat normal. I doubt we're even going to get any other reference to it at all this season.
And I wish they wouldn't do that, because big thing. And if they're back together, they should say it. It should at least be one line.
Well, as we've said,
you know?
So far, I think every single week since Community has started, they have huge problems with sort of just shoving things and character backstories and characters' lives sort of aside and not really paying attention to them. So,
yeah.
Well, on to Parks and Rec. All right, the week before last was the episode, it was Knight's Leslie and Ben episode, because she was trying to get him to shut down that chard stand. And so it was like the first time that they sort of clashed as husband and wife working together.
And it was a nice callback to when Ben first came to the town and they didn't agree.
Yeah, exactly.
They fought on issues and she didn't really like him at first. So it was a nice, like, it's not just lovey-dovey now that they're married.
Yeah, exactly.
There's still, you know, real issues. They still don't agree with each other all the time and don't just necessarily cave to the other one, you know. I like that Ben stood up for himself and didn't, you know, just agree with
Leslie. And I'm glad that they did that, because I think it would have been really easy to just sort of ignore the fact that he's in a position of authority over her, you know, and just sort of make it be like, oh, well, they never really have to, you know, work together or whatever. And I'm also glad that they sort of settled it in the end, like, that not just that issue, but they figured out a way to make it so that they could work respectfully together without, you know, the husband-wife thing getting in the way. So that, because, like, I think they also could have gone the way of, like, every few episodes is an episode with Ben and Leslie clashing over something, and, you know, so I'm glad that they addressed it, but they cleared it up nicely so it's not, like, a big, ridiculous, tiring thing. Yeah.
Recurring theme, yeah. Yeah, it was
and
well
done. I also liked the April and Andy stuff where he played the kids' birthday party. And she's like, you can't sing that song to kids. Which I feel like it almost shows April's growth, because, like, early seasons April would have been like, yeah, sing that song to kids, you know? But now she's like more mature and she's like, you can't do that. You can't sing that to kids at a party. Sorry. And I feel like, I hope that they actually do something with this, and it's not just, like, a one-off. I hope that this is, like, because, I mean, I know he found his place in England for a little while, but it has been a lot of Andy trying to find his place and trying to find what he's supposed to do. And this seems like something that really made him happy, so it would be kind of nice to see him pursue this. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Really good at
so
it.
I really hope.
Andy is such a kid that it really
is
a perfect
definitely.
Fit.
So I hope it's something that they actually, that they do, and not they don't just, you know, forget about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh yeah, there was Krisna in that episode because she was huge and like complaining, and Chris just wanted to make everything better. And she's like, I just want to complain, and she.
Their like, what was their club?
It was like something with like fine wine and cheese. Yeah,
wine and cheese club.
And I like how they sort of messed with like the hysterical hormonal pregnant wife thing, because they could have just gone the easy route and been like, she's just mad at him all the time, but you know, she's upset because she's hormonal, but she recognizes that like he's the sweetest guy in the world, all he's trying to do is make things better for her, like she recognizes how irrational she's being. So I like that they sort of subverted that. And then, hey, it's unusual on shows that couples actually talk about their problem and then have a solution in the end, because that's what they did. She told him that she didn't want him to try to solve all the problems, she just wanted to vent, and he did that, which is nice. And then last week's episode, which made me cry. 3 solid weeks of NBC's Thursday primetime making me cry. So,
yeah,
I mean, there wasn't
really
any Ben and Leslie stuff. No, not really any April Andy. I liked April and what?
The guys kind of doing their own thing, and then Leslie and Anne trying to.
It was weird that it was both both comedies and that 8 to 9 time block had were an episode about a sort of chain of favors within the system. It was kind of like earlier in the season when It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia did the Flowers for Charlie episode, and then the episode of the league that was on after it was the Flowers for Taco episode. That was just like really bizarre scheduling. So I did like the moment a lot where April and Anne moment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At the park, that was sweet.
Obviously, like, Chris and Anne left and everything, but yeah, there wasn't really any shippy stuff. No.
I just realized we totally forgot to mention Billion on Trinity.
I liked it. It had Paget Brewster, it had Robert Patrick, it had the guy whose name I can't remember. Kumail Nanjiani, I think his name is. He is delightful. So yeah, I like the guest starring things.
And I knew that Nathan Fillion was doing an episode, but I didn't know which one. So that was a delightful
and
surprise.
Those custodians need to learn that sometimes you can get past porn filters by adding an S to the HTTP in the web address. Just FYI to everybody who has filters on at work for anything.
It is Greendale, so chances are that would
work. That works on, like, even some better web security systems, so it should definitely work for Greendale. So really, Annie didn't need to, like, do the whole chain of command thing. She could have just been like, add an S. Problem solved. Yeah.
Annie doesn't know that.
I think Hickey would maybe know it. Maybe he was trying to teach her a lesson about the system. Alright, I can't think of it. What else? There's nothing really on Elementary. Oh, Sean Saves the World got canceled. Which I think betters Community's chances for a renewal. Nothing on Friday nights? I think, are we done?
Just general depressingness. Just really depressing everything.
It'll be like a banner news day when that show is happy. Alright, so do we want to move on to our featured topic this week? Which is, we are talking about Peter and Lydia and Peter and Styles from Teen Wolf. Literally, Lydia and Styles. Ooh, Peter and Styles. I'm intrigued and I'm going to read all the fan fiction.
Is that a ship?
I am pretty sure, like, every possible pairing on that show has at least some fanfiction somewhere. In fact, I'm gonna go to AO3 right now. Alright, so I...
Yeah. Look up Peter and Styles.
So I haven't really thought about how to structure this. Like, how do we want to talk about each on its own?
Yeah, let's talk about this separately. So, like, do you want to do Peter and Lydia first?
Yeah, since we talked about Styles and Lydia already in this episode.
Styles every time.
All right, there are... Okay, hold on. Let me actually narrow it down by relationship. 990 Peter Styles fix on an archive of our own.
Wow. I did not think it would be that many.
This is... I don't know, that is that right? Because, like, some of these numbers for other ships look weird. But I don't know. I'm going to look at fanfiction.net and see how many they have.
Sometimes I find AO3 really difficult.
I did, like, yeah, and, like, they... I'll do, like, a search for a ship, and, like, one time the result will be, like, 950, and the next time the result will be, like, 16. So, yeah.
I think it has to do with the tagging.
Yeah, but, like, they're tag... I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't... Yeah, it does seem sort of like... Because I've published on AO3 before, and, like, if you... You just kind of have to put in your own tag as far as, like, the relationship. But then, like, at times, I guess depending on the fandom, I guess it goes through and sort of sorts it. So, like, if I were to write a... Aurora Hook fic and label it Hook/Aurora, but what it's labeled in and what that ship is labeled as in general is Aurora Hook, it would then go and change that and reorganize it, but I don't know, like, how consistent that is. It's really weird. I'm not crazy about their sorting system. Alright, so Peter and Lydia. A delightfully fucked up ship. How do you feel about its, do you feel it's canon? Do you think there's canon support for it?
I mean, I think it's more fanon than canon. I think you could justify it as canon because of...
Yeah, I think it was
season two. When Lydia has that... Did it end up being, like, a daydream or something?
She was, like she was
young Peter?
I don't know if she was hallucinating or what it was. And some of it was just regular sleeping dreams. But because it was all, like, you have to bring me back from the dead. So, like, we haven't really gotten much of an answer as to... Because he bit her and she didn't turn. But it's whatever it did connected them so that she would be able to revive him. But... We don't really know what that connection is, but I think the writer said we're going to get some of that in this half of the season.
Okay, that will interesting to learn.
In her hallucination / daydreams, whatever, I mean, she made out with young Peter. So, I mean that right there gives it canon basis, but it's not canon like, oh, well, the writers clearly want these two to end up together, because I hope that's not the case. Unless like they are intentionally gonna write it as like, and then they fall in love, but then there is a murder suicide. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think the writers have any intention of actually putting this couple together
because I feel like they have sort of sexualized the connection or whatever, and I can see them continuing that. But I don't think it's going to be, like, portrayed as, like, and then they fell in love, you know?
No.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a tease. And I'm fine with that. I prefer it that way because it's not a healthy relationship.
No, I definitely agree. And I understand them. Like, even stepping back and not looking at it from a shippy perspective, I understand them sort of sexualizing that connection because, I don't know... The werewolf thing has always, like, werewolf vampirism, it's always been sort of used as an allegory, well, not always, but within the 20th century especially, an allegory for sexually transmitted disease. And so, and it's true, like, you get the bite, you turn to a werewolf because you get a bite, and the werewolf's fluid or whatever, their bodily fluids, this is sounding all weird and, like, health classy, but, like, whatever it is gets put into your system. And so it's kind of like with True yeah. Blood, where after they, where if they, if you drink a vampire's blood, you have sex dreams about them. So yeah, it's, I yeah, mean, obviously okay. it hasn't, not every werewolf, you know, person who's turned into a werewolf has had a sexualized relationship with the person who turned them. But it's not, I mean, we saw that Erica sort of had something like that with Derek, like there was a sexual element to it. So I don't think it, yeah. so it's not like this is a new thing for the way that they show werewolves, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright, so like, so I'm not surprised yes, that yes. they did sort of sexualize that connection, whatever it is, between Lydia and Peter. And also because, like, it really was sort of an invasion of her mind, and I think that alone, especially for someone who is as sexually charged and active as Lydia has been portrayed, like, it's not surprising that because he has sort of invaded her mind, that that's sort of what's become of it, you know? All right. I'm glad you understood right. what I was saying. Yeah.
I do, totally.
So, yeah. I don't know. Thoughts?
Very, on a very sort of basic level, I think there is a bit of the cliched, you know,
yeah.
charm of, like, a bad boy, you know, because he definitely is, and, like, you know, supposedly, like, every girl wants, you know, a bad boy
mm-hmm.
once in her life, so, although, I don't, well, would you consider
yeah,
Jackson
he wasn't really
one?
A bad boy.
He was just kind of a dick.
He was, yeah, he was a sort of a dick, and it even, like, because before the storyline starts, like, it does. He seems like he's just kind of a jerk, but it seems like his relationship with Lydia is fine. Like, it's not like he's bad to her or a bad boy in general. He's just kind of the standard bully. He might sort of fit I won't even say he fits the bad boy archetype as the series goes on, even though he does sort of become the antagonist in a way, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it could be argued that perhaps he's the bad boy, but it doesn't, it not in the way that Peter is. And I think it,
yeah.
considering Lydia's line to Straight Twin about her not wanting to be with a bad guy, I don't think that they are going to go this route, but it would be interesting seeing the way that their connection develops considering that line, Peter and Lydia, considering he is, like, a very bad boy, a very bad guy. And she even sort of amended her like the way that she was talking to Straight Twin, because she was like, you're not just a bad boy, you're a bad guy. And it's sort of interesting that the way she said that, because Peter is obviously not a boy, you know? So I don't even really think that they're gonna go there, but it's kind of interesting to think about, you know? I know that it's been theorized, and it probably is the most likely theory, that the reason the bite connected her to Peter or whatever and made it possible for her to revive him was because she is, for some reason, immune to the bite. And I don't know if that's because she's a banshee or what. Like, we haven't really gotten any answers to that. But it might be, I don't know, I guess there's reason to maybe think that the reason she was able to do it was because of some sort of other connection that they might have. Like, I don't know, maybe just, like,
okay.
compatible personalities. That sounds weird, but...
I think that adds to their relationship. The fact that she was immune to his bite... For someone
yeah,
like Peter,
I agree.
That's, like,
yeah,
appealing.
Definitely...
It's interesting. What's with this girl?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I turn her? You know, that could, you know, sort of be a catalyst for him, like, wanting to spend more time with her, wanting to get to know her better.
Yeah, like, why
kind of, like,
her?
Figure
why,
out...
why didn't it work on her? And I read some fics that have, like, that haven't really been romantic between them, but that have sort of explored the fact that maybe, even though he's been revived, that that connection is still there. And so, even though they're not romantic, like, they kind of have to deal with having that connection.
Okay. Like, they're joined now, and they always will be for life.
Yeah,
and... to deal with each other.
Do you think that Lydia being a banshee, because, I mean, that has a lot to do with, you know, death, do you think maybe that was why she was able to revive Peter, or do you think maybe that is why she became a banshee?
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, they haven't really said if it's something she's become or if it's something that she already was and it just sort of developed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I think it could go either way, and
I really hope that they do sort of tie that into when they sort of go deeper into Lydia and Peter's connection, because I that really doesn't feel unintentional. You know, that kind of feels calculated. Yeah.
So fancy.
I'm definitely, like, so, I mean, I ship it, fan and ship it, but, like, as far as the show goes, I'm actually just really interested in seeing how this, like, connection works, so...
I'm interested in any Lydia-Peter relationship on the show.
I agree.
It doesn't be romantic. I just... really interesting
and, like,
relationship.
And, I think that they've done a really good job of sort of building up to this whole thing, because it's been since season 2 that, like, we've been wondering, like, well, why was Lydia immune? And then, like, why was she able to revive Peter? And then why is she a banshee all of a sudden? So I hope that was intentional and it's all going to tie together. I hope that it wasn't just like, oh, we forgot to answer those questions, but...
Well, so far the show has done a good
job. Yeah, I agree. It's been
a
pretty tightly done show.
Yeah.
All right, any other Lydia Peter stuff?
No. That's pretty much. All right,
so let's move on to Lydia and Styles. All right, thoughts?
Okay. They're my actual,
yeah, they're the only canon ship that I actually really care about. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I agree. Right now, Scott and Kira are still in, like, the cute stage. Maybe if they... And obviously they're going to keep up with it, I feel, so I might end up shipping them more than I do right now, which is kind of a little bit. But, like... Styles and Lydia are,
and
like, my ship on the show.
I see a lot of stuff said about, like... criticizing it coming from both sides, like, well, it would be good for Styles because he'd get the girl he always wanted, and but it wouldn't be good for Lydia. And then I see that, well, it'd be good for Lydia because she would have a guy who gets her, but it wouldn't be good for Styles. And I'm just like, or it's both.
I think it would be an equally good thing.
I agree, because I think
Styles
was definitely the first person, like, he was really the only person in the school who saw through her sort of mask that she put on. So, I mean, it's clear from the very beginning of the series that he gets her in a way that nobody else does. And the...
Yes.
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where, like, Lydia's faith in Styles kind of goes even further than Scott's faith in Styles. At least that's what it's sort of been shown this season. Like, she thinks that she trusts him to always be the one to figure it out. She pretty much thinks that if, you know, Styles is on the case, everything's going to be okay. So, yeah. Exactly. So,
she trusts him to figure out how to get her out of that trap. She calms him down when he starts to freak out because he can't
they
read
definitely
the words.
Sort of.
I feel like complement each other and kind of boost each other exactly. up in a way.
And they're able to sort of, with one another, sort of let the other one see the things that they don't really let anyone else see, like when they're sort of scared or when they're like, when they feel bad because they were wrong about something or when they are losing faith in themselves. Like, they don't really let anybody else see that. It's something that they kind of only share with each other.
Yeah.
And I like that because, yeah. and I like the way that they've found this relationship. Like, it, they could have easily gotten them together any point and it would have been fine, but I like how they've really worked on building the friendship above everything else so that it's, it has a really solid foundation.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And that, and their friendship has now grown so close that I think transitioning into relationship will be like,
yeah, I agree.
Like smoothly done. Very nice transition. Almost very effortless.
I do wonder though how the exploration of this connection between Peter and Lydia this season will affect her relationship with Styles. Yeah.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
I'm trying to remember, like, Styles' last, like, significant interaction with Peter. I'm like, I know it couldn't have been good. I don't think anyone has a good interaction with Peter. So I can't remember, like, what it was, because I feel like that last interaction would maybe color his reaction to Peter and Lydia. But since I can't remember what it was, I can't really... Like, I can't remember if it was just, like, Peter being a douche to him or Peter doing something really bad to him.
I don't remember. We have gotten very little yeah. Styles, Peter.
I definitely felt that was something that the last episode could have used some Peter. So,
yeah.
I hope we get more of him. I mean, we saw at the end of 3A him... apparently killing Jennifer. I never want to say for sure with the show, but and him being like, I've always been the alpha, I will be the alpha, and like in like the evil way, but like it seems like this beginning of the season, it's just like he's just like, whatever, I'll hang out with Derek and whatever, you know. So it kind of feels like it was like, oh, Peter's gonna be the big bad in the next part of the season. They're like, oh, he just
I don't know. You know, you never know with Peter.
Yeah.
He could just be biding his time. You know, he could be, you know, staying under the radar, and then all of a sudden,
well, he's definitely
all this shit's going to come
because
out.
Because like you said, we don't really get a lot of Peter, sort of in general. And I feel like, you know, obviously he wants to be the alpha, so like he doesn't really have real beef with his family anymore. I mean, because Derek's not the alpha. Scott is. So if he has
right.
issues, like if he's really gonna work against anyone this season, it's gonna be against Scott. And obviously, I mean, Derek will be pulled into the conflict. But at the moment, I don't, like, it doesn't matter because Derek is not a problem for him. He's just another wolf. But at this, like, At the end of 3A, we did see that he sort of does... I mean, he wants the alpha spot, and he's willing to sort of manipulate events to get it. But he does genuinely care about his family. Like, he was with Cora in the hospital. He was, like, genuinely worried about her. So he's so hard to read, you know? And, like, I feel like we never really got a firm answer on... Did you say something? Okay, I feel like we never really got a firm answer on from him killing Laura and doing all the shit in season one. Because, like, there was one point where they were like, oh, well, he wasn't himself. He was under... He didn't know what he was doing. And then sometimes it's like, oh, no, he totally knew what he was doing. He's totally evil. So I feel like we still don't really have a firm read on that whole situation yet. You know? So, like, I feel like if we knew for sure what was going on with that situation, Peter would be a lot easier to figure out. We don't really know for sure.
And another really interesting thing about Peter is that we have seen so little of him on the show, and then we get a lot of people's opinions of him. Derek talking about Peter and you know, other people talking about Peter and what a bad guy he is, but it's through other people's, you know,
so,
opinions.
Like, I feel like the writers sort of want to... What? Yeah, and I feel like the writers
really
sort of want to do that to give him sort of mystery and mystique and make him a mysterious character. But, you know, that worked maybe in season one and season two, but we're at the point where he's so heavily involved in storylines. He really is, especially now that we're going to get more information about him and Lydia this season, that it feels like we need to know more. We need to see more of actual Peter and not just people's opinions of Peter. Because it does seem like he only shows up when shit's going down and he's either reluctantly helping or he's being opportunistic. And so, like, it'd be nice to see him just in a regular situation where he doesn't necessarily have anything to gain and see what he does in that moment. So, yeah. So, hopefully we get some of that because, yeah, he's a very difficult character to read. All right. So, anything else to say about our Lydia ships?
Like, segue into discussion.
Well, like, well, I mean,
about Lydia and Styles.
I don't know what else to say about Lydia and Styles. I mean... I think we kind of covered it.
I don't... It's like... Styles is...
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lydia's my favorite character on the show. And then Styles is such a likable character. He's, I think, the most likable character on the show. You want him to have what he wants. Like, you want things to work out for him. So if he wants Lydia,
they're not necessarily like that with ships. Did you see the discussion on the Jeff and Annie group on LiveJournal this weekend? Because, like, someone posited a theory that, you know, you always ship your favorite characters. Or you ship your favorite character with whoever your favorite character wants. And that generally isn't the case for me. I mean, like, it was posted in the Jeff Annie Live Journal, so a lot of the discussion revolved around Community. But I mean, Britta's my favorite character, and I don't ship her with Jeff, and I don't really particularly, now that Troy's gone, I don't really particularly ship her with anyone. Jeff and Annie has the fact that I ship them, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're my favorite characters because they're not. And then so I was started thinking of other things, like I shipped Shannon and Boone on Lost, and I hated both of those characters. So, I mean, and I don't think that... What?
Lost ship, though, it wasn't. But that wasn't... Shannon and Boone wasn't your favorite Lost ship.
They probably were my favorite Lost ship. And, I mean, when I think about Teen Wolf, like, I don't know, I have a hard time pinning down a favorite character. I think it sort of seesaws between Lydia, Styles, and Peter. And I'm willing to admit with this show that perhaps the reason I ship them at all with anyone is because they're the only characters that I... find actually interesting, I guess. But I mean, I don't think that it has to do with me like oh, Styles wants her, so I want Styles to have what he wants. You know, because I didn't. That's never really what I feel like with ships.
I'd be interested to know what other people, how other people view that, because you might be an anomaly. Because I, like, Annie is my favorite character on Community, so I ship Annie with Jeff because that's who she wants. So maybe most people do ship their favorite characters together,
well,
you know, and maybe
I
yours
mean,
is
I
different.
I suppose, and I guess that could have to do with just how long I've been doing the shipping thing, but, I mean, even looking at, like, Party of Five, my favorite character is Charlie, and I didn't ship him with anybody. Like, my ship was Sarah and Bailey, and with the Western, my favorite character was Leo and then Toby, and I didn't really ship them with anybody, so, I don't know. And it did seem like the general consensus in the Jeff and Annie Live Journal, everyone was saying, like, well, I don't think that's the case, here's why, or even if, you know, this character is my favorite, I don't ship them with this character because it's what they want, I ship them because I think it's what's best for them or what would make them happiest. You know, because Britta is my favorite, and she wanted Jeff at the end of season one, and I didn't want her with Jeff. They're terrible with each other. They're
really
terrible together.
It was a competition.
No,
I wouldn't say that she really wanted him.
After, because, like, she was jealous after Interpretive Dance, and she was, I mean, there were parts where she was clearly jealous, and it was clear that she sort of did want Jeff, even if it was just even a curiosity thing, because at that point I don't think it was competition. It became a competition in the last episode. But yeah, I think it was pretty easily in the second half of that season. I think she definitely wanted him. And I mean, kind of got him for a while. I mean, they at the very least were sleeping together. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, let us know what you guys think about your shipping preferences as far as, you know, do you ship your favorite characters together? Do you ship your favorite character with whoever they want to be with? Or how do you ship? Let us know. Yeah.
It's a very complex question. How do you
ship? Okay.
Oh, Lydia Martin, out of all the characters that I ship on all my shows, Lydia is the only person
I'm
that
sure
I ship with multiple people.
There are other, I have other multi-ships, but it's the only one I can think of at the moment. Yeah.
At least, you know, on air now. And I think it's just, Lydia is a very shippable character.
Well, I think it's because there are sort of two sides to Lydia. There's the sweet, smart girl, and there's the sexy, worldly vixen. So I think that might be part of what makes her so shippable. She does sort of have two sides to her, and they work with different people.
That's true.
So, I don't know. Anything else?
No.
Oh, Emma Approved started again today. Yeah, it started today, so just FYI, everyone. I was thinking today, and I posted it on Tumblr,
that's
I was
exciting.
Like, I get a lot of consolation out of the fact that within the Pemberley Digital universe, they've sort of made it canon that those videos are available for mass consumption, and that they will probably easily be used to make sure that Senator Elton is not elected again. So yeah, I get consolation from that idea. All right, so... I don't know. I don't have my list with me. I don't know where I put it, so we'll have to just worry about that next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
No character list.
All right, so I guess,
okay.
Yeah, so go to seriesregulars.freeforums.org or theseriesregulars.tumblr.com if you want to watch Community Season 1 along with us, if you want to join us for our television club, and go to onetruepodcast.tumblr.com to, see stuff, shippy stuff. I don't know where I was going with that. Like, my mind totally blanked.
Go to the True Podcast Tumblr and submit your list of hottest male characters.
Yeah, and since I'm
going to
be putting the soap opera couples list up, if you guys want to send yours and I'll publish them on the Tumblr. And again, let us know your thoughts about shipping and favorite characters, so... All right, I don't know what our topic's going to be next week, so I'll post it when I find out. We haven't decided. So I guess that's it. All right, bye, guys.